Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Patriots Playbook for Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW is with us today.
I was going to say John Rook from Patriots Playbook is with us today.
That too.
It's good to have you back.
That too. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for busting my chops right off the top. Never mind that.
We have a lot of lost time to make up for.
We do have a ton of lost time to make up for. I will apologize officially to you for the curveball on the travel plans last week.
Sucky.
Yeah, it was kind of tough. It's kind of tough getting to Tampa.
We called an audible.
You did, you filled in admirably. I had to, get to Tampa.
I kind of bored
2 hours
to death,
2 hours earlier than I originally was supposed to.
Two hours earlier.
That's right.
Wow.
That's, the airline company calls you and they say, your flight's been changed. Oh, okay. So, when am I leaving? When am I getting there? You need to leave 2 hours earlier. Oh, okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Any reason?
It was just they had a changing with the flight schedule. So I'm like, all right, fine. No big deal. And I got down to Florida a little bit earlier.
Well, there will be no, speaking of flights and changes, there will be no changing of New England's flight schedule to and from Denver next
week. Wow, you're a professional. You know how to segue.
I try. You can rent a Segway, too, at Patriot Place. Speaking of brand cross promotion.
That reminds me of the movie Jackass 3D. And the old
because
fat ladies got
no,
the old fat ladies trying to get around on the Segway. I saw that again the other night, so I'm like, okay.
Breaking news within the last 5-10 minutes.
Correct.
There will be no flexing of the New England-Denver game next weekend. Chargers Ravens remains.
We'll stay the Sunday night game
Sunday
on
night
NBC.
Game on NBC after much internal and fractious debate among the league higher ups and TV executives, and
figured that a decision had to come today. It was supposed to come.
Well, it was supposed to be yesterday because it's supposed to be by league rules 12 days before the contest, and yesterday was the 12th day. And that's routinely when the announcement is made.
But as we understand, there was a lot of contention
because
between
of Tim Tebow,
CBS and NBC. NBC certainly wanted the game, but CBS didn't want to give up the game.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I blame them, although as we reported here on this program yesterday, Mr. Kraft was getting involved to the extent that he was taking CBS's side on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can kind of understand why from a logistical perspective. From a purely football logistics perspective, because, I mean, as it is, we're going to get back in the wee hours of Monday morning because of, the time difference out west and just, it being a later game.
Sure.
We'll still be coming back late, but if we had come back, now add 4 hours to that, you're looking at really like dawn on Monday morning by the time we actually get back to Gillette. And then there's, treatment, there's film breakdown, there's all the stuff they normally have to do. And they have to do it even quicker coming off of that game because, as you know, they play on Christmas Eve, which is a Saturday that week. So the week is already one day shorter to begin with.
Right.
So I can understand why every hour counts, even if it's just an extra 4.5 hours between kickoffs. That's going to mean a lot as far as players getting home, getting rest, and being able to treat Monday like a work day when they get back, as opposed to treating it like an off day if they would have had the night game to worry about.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I can certainly understand why that's part of it. Maybe it actually had something to do with
And so that's part of the debate.
That's
not the whole reason, obviously.
Well, I think we all realize that Mr. Kraft has partners that he wants to help out as best they can when they lean on him for a little help.
Did you have lunch at CBS scene, by the way?
I did
John?
Not today.
Okay.
I should be angling for that now.
More product
right?
placement and cross promotion going on.
That's all I can tell you.
But you're right. There's no secret that Les Moonves of CBS and Robert Kraft have some alliances and friendship there. So that may have played a part in it as well. But Yes, as you as we said before the show open here, CBS now has a ratings bonanza on their hands.
Well, there's no question. There's no question about it. We were talking a little bit about it yesterday as well, Eric, and you know, with all due respect to Washington, I think a lot of fans are pointing toward that just because of the national story that Tim Tebow has become.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Broncos have overtaken the Raiders for the time being in the AFC West. I mean, the Broncos are one of the, you know, hot stories in the entire NFL right now, without a doubt. Nobody expected this team to do this.
They currently own the fourth seed. I know we still have a month of games to play, but if you're looking at how this is going to, you know, siphon its way down,
right?
They own the fourth seed right now.
Mm-hmm. Because they lead the division.
Because they lead the division, which means they would be hosting 9-3 Pittsburgh at this point.
How about that? If the playoffs were this week,
yeah.
Yes, they would be hosting Pittsburgh.
And if things remain as they are, that's what's going to happen. Things won't remain as they are, obviously. There'll be movement in the next month, but
yeah. Right.
It's a good starting point. We're in the we're in the fourth quarter of the season, John.
So
four games left.
So is
we
it
can
now,
legitimately talk about and well, look at the seedings.
I had a couple of emailers yesterday say, hey, could we get an update every week at least now for the next couple of weeks on what the playoff potential seedings are, what the power, not the power rankings, but the strength of schedule is, because they feel like that's going to be perhaps part of the breakdown in terms of deciding who's going to get a one is versus a two versus a three, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we'd do the best we can to update you on the strength of schedule and all that kind of stuff, and to let you know where we stand and any particular, you know, Tuesday when we come back on the program, because
mm-hmm.
it is going to start getting a little bit more interesting over the next couple of weeks.
Yep, and playoff scenarios are going to be big, too, as far as clinching and that sort of thing. New England can clinch this weekend with a win, combined with a Jets loss at home to the Chiefs.
So, Jets lose to the Chiefs. The Patriots can win if they win.
Can clinch if they
yes.
win. Correct.
Correct.
Now, I don't see the Chiefs going to MetLife Stadium and winning.
And winning, no.
So even if New England beats the Redskins, as I think most of us expect will happen,
it would still take another
10 wins wouldn't be able to get in the clinch.
No.
So we would have to wait till Tebow week, which would be interesting given New England's difficulties in Mile High historically.
I got to tell you, I'm
whether
already,
or not they'd be able to clinch that week.
I know. That's what I'm, you know, and I had, a couple of other emails yesterday also mentioned the very same thing. The fact is that now, whereas a week ago you're looking at this thinking, they won't have any trouble, I think now they have significant trouble with that game next week. And I
thought they did anyway.
Well, I remember.
Much to the chagrin of fans like Josh in Virginia, who's going to go apoplectic that I'm, you know, looking at facts and seeing that they historically don't do well in Denver.
Well, they don't.
Now, he had his panties in a bunch last week because I said that the Colts game was going to be close and not be a blowout, and you know I was right, and picked the Patriots and the Colts with the points, and you know was right. But he was, you know, aggravated and kept making a jerk of himself on Twitter all week. So.
Really?
Yeah, you, Josh, in Virginia.
Wow.
Then he goes Then he goes and asks where we're going to be hanging out this weekend when we're in D.C. And
nice.
I said, wherever you're not.
Wow. Eric.
Lots happened since you've been gone, John.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. So do we need to revisit any of this? Or
no.
Okay.
I just did.
You just
that
did.
Was it.
All right, fair enough. One of the questions that I have.
So
today,
now I expect an email from Josh
of
in Virginia
course.
At some
and
point.
It will,
yeah.
And believe me, I will. I'll be glad to read it.
All good fun, Josh. Don't just relax. We're kidding. We're having some fun. Don't get all Mr. Serious on us.
Is
here.
This the Josh right here? Is that him, or is that a different Josh?
You know, I'm not sure.
Because he's in D.C.
Might be him.
He says game not flexed.
Yeah, thanks. We already
yes,
broke
we
that,
that
news.
Yeah, we knew that.
Try keeping up. Try keeping your Twitter feed open as I sent that out
he
about
sent
15
that twice.
Minutes
why,
ago.
Why, Josh, we saw it the first time. We saw it the second time. We saw it. We knew about it yesterday, to be quite honest with you. So thank you for the information. It's greatly appreciated.
Look like those okay. girls on that new cell phone commercial. Like, that was so 27 seconds ago. You know? That's how
yeah,
I feel like with this announcement.
Absolutely.
Today.
Okay, a couple of things today. By the way, you certainly can reach us in the program, webradio@patriots.com, the email address, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook page, if you're not a friend on Facebook, submit the friend request to John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and we will accept that. And then you may post, you may chat, you may message, whatever you'd like to do, either during the show, which is a great place to gather during the show, or even during off-show hours, and then you can post your questions, and then we bring them to the table during the program. And the Twitter page, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. Now that we've taken care of all of our social media obligations.
John, you know how, I know Thursday is Prediction Thursday.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get ahead of the game this
okay,
week.
But you're going
but,
to.
No, I'm not. I just want you to know that somebody has tweeted me with a prediction for next week's game.
Oh, against already
Denver.
Against Denver.
Yes.
Regardless of what happens this week,
right.
Already predicting a score.
Right.
Okay.
And it's not good for the Patriots, according to this
really?
Guy. No.
Says the Patriots are going down?
Yeah. He's predicting a 28-10 loss. In Denver.
10 points in Denver. The Patriots are only going to score 10
yeah,
points
I don't know
in Denver?
Yeah, he's worried about...
10.
Yeah.
10.
Willis McGahee and Denver's defense with Von Miller.
Patriots are going to score 10 against Denver. 10. 10. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. 10
yeah.
points. Okay. All right. 10 times 10 or 10?
No, just says 28-10.
Just 28-10. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Honestly, that's not very smart. I mean, it's one thing to predict them to lose, but to score 10 in Denver against that defense, Patriots have scored 10 points in a drive almost this year.
Oh, no! Yeah. We suck again!
That gets me every time. I don't know.
Oh, no. There are some great liners
I know
in that movie.
Coming. I know it's
some great yeah. liners in that movie. All right, so we've got the Redskins that we certainly need to get to.
Yeah.
And we will do that coming up shortly. And also in the second hour of our program, Larry Michael, who's the radio play-by-play voice of the Washington Redskins, will get to us as well. And one of the things that I wanted to get to today, we really haven't had a chance to talk about it because, frankly, there have been a lot of, let's just say, I hate to use the term street free agent. Let's just say there have been a lot of different players come through the
street
portals.
Street free agent is an accurate
it may very
characterization.
Well be. It may very well be, but it just there's sort of a demeaning tone to it. I don't think it gives enough credit to the guys that actually come in and do the job when they're paid to do the job because they frankly know this is their shot and they're making the most of their opportunity. So I think that's great. For instance, Doran Dickerson signed yesterday by the team late yesterday and in the locker room today, participating in practice today, and he is allegedly going to come in as a third replace or a third player behind Gronkowski and Hernandez. But Doran Dickerson from University of Pittsburgh, who I covered extensively for a few years, as you'll recall, he is the prototypical H-back. He's not quite tall for a tight end, but he's got the bulk. And he's got the versatility. So you could see him perhaps lining up in the backfield, and you could see him, splitting out, and you could see him in the slot, and you could see him on the line blocking. You could see him doing a lot of different things. So Dickerson is one of these types of guys that we're talking about, even though he's probably not germane to this particular discussion because he just joined the team. But that being said, question that I asked on the Facebook page today, and I did want to get to, is has to do with an unheralded hero for this team this year. And I use the term hero kind of loosely, but who in your estimation has more than done his fair share thus far? Who has been a surprise perhaps even to you? As we know, we have a lot of draftniks out there, and we have a lot of people who really examine the roster from top to bottom, and they know this team backwards and forwards. And who's come through in the clutch? Who stood up and been accounted for?
I think one of the names we threw out at the very end of the PFW in progress was James Ehedebo.
Right. I would agree with that one.
That's certainly
right at the top of my list, yes.
I would also throw Kyle Love in there, who has quietly become a regular starter inside at tackle next to Vince Wilfork and has made some plays. He hasn't made any game-changing plays, but he's done his job pretty quietly, especially in a year when we – had all of these big-name signings at the position, including Albert Haynesworth, who didn't work out. Sean Ellis at end. We've had Andre Carter at end, who's done, has actually worked out very well. But at that interior tackle spot, they signed a lot of guys this summer.
Let me ask you something.
Defensive line. And I think Kyle Love deserves some credit for doing that.
Let me ask you something about Kyle then. Did his emergence, especially early in the year, help make the decision easier to dump on Albert?
Certainly. I without question. Because if you didn't have that sort of consistency and and depth, you wouldn't have been able to say, you know, I think you might have given him a little bit longer leash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, hey, they cut their losses. And, you know, Kyle Love's a hard-working guy, good kid, and he's proven that he can play at this level. And, you know, when he makes plays, you know, you see him, he's very excitable, does his little, like, gravedigger kind of celebration afterwards. He's turned into a very good, solid player. Another one of these undrafted guys who has had to work his way from nothing all the way up to this. And
Kyle Love's a very good choice, especially
when you consider the
misses that they've had there. And in addition to the fact that they can't seem to get a guy like Ron Brace healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, sure. I would totally agree with that.
And Brace has been active and practicing and hasn't been on the injury report. Hasn't had any reps. And, you know, part of that, I think, is due to the fact that
Kyle loves playing well.
And, you know, you can't take Andre Carter out of there and put, you know, Brace on the end,
right,
like they tried to do a little bit last year when they were still in the 3-4. But Brace is best suited as at the tackle spot. And, you know, with Gerard Warren being there, he's your next rotational guy that comes in and spells either Will Fork or Love in those cases. So, there haven't been a whole lot of opportunities for Brace.
Now that there are opportunities, he is definitely making the most of it, as Ahedebo has been. I would tell you that even though I think there was a lot of expected from him this year, I would also have to say that a pretty solid player, done an unheralded job, would have to be Brian Waters.
My pause is not because he hasn't done a great job. It's just because he's a guy who was.
He's a Pro Bowl caliber player at his position.
But
realistically speaking, how many people really knew who Brian Waters was before he got here?
That's fair.
Maybe a handful.
That's
okay. And so you know the guy by name, maybe. I mean, let's face it. He was an offensive guard and in an obscure franchise in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And an 11-year veteran, for that matter. Nobody really knew the name other than, you know, hardcore football people.
Yeah.
And so when you bring him in, you're kind of like thinking, well, I hope he can do the job. Maybe he should do the job. Well, he has done the job.
Yeah.
He's done quite nicely.
That's true. And, I would have said earlier in the year, Dan Connolly.
Until Connolly got hurt,
but then you know filling in for Dan Copen, but then he ended up getting hurt and had to be replaced by Ryan Wendell, who after one start got hurt and had to be replaced by Nick McDonald. It's been a revolving door there at center, and they haven't really been hurt too much by it.
What if we put all backup centers in the mix here? Because really, I think that's a good point.
Yeah,
you got collectively three players.
Connolly, Wendell, and McDonald
that have all combined to take Dan Copen's spot out of necessity because of the injury situation, and they don't seem to miss a beat, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how rare is that? Four players at the position in 1 year.
Yeah,
and they're not missing a beat.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really is remarkable, especially when Connolly was thought to be your backup guard too. At either side, left
that's
or
certainly
right.
Taken away from your depth
so,
on the line.
So he
over.
Had to become your full-time center.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets hurt, and you have to move your next backup guard, Ryan Wendell, to full-time center, which only lasted a game, as it turned out. But again, those guys have been practicing. Wendell, Connolly, Connolly hasn't been able to be game day active because of groin injury, and you know I don't know if. You know, sometimes a groin injury can be a hernia. I don't know if he's dealing with anything like that, which could, you know, be a reason why he's been out for so long. Because if you just have, like, a pulled groin muscle, I mean, it hurts a little bit to run, but you're an offensive lineman. You're not really doing a lot of running. So I started to think maybe he has, like, something a little more serious in that area, like maybe a hernia that's keeping him out. But then he would have to have had surgery on that. If it is that type of injury, he will have to have surgery at some point on it because Ty Warren, who's no longer here, had something similar a few years ago and played through it, but then had off-season surgery to correct it and then talked to us afterwards about how, my production was a little bit down because I was playing through this hernia injury. So maybe they're being a little bit more cautious with Connelly, if that's what it is. I don't know for sure. I'm just trying to speculate because a groin injury for an offensive lineman doesn't seem like something that would keep him out for as
Not
long as it has.
Not necessarily, does
you know?
It?
It has to be something more serious than just that, like a pulled muscle, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to digress for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Which we'd like
it's
to
about
do
that
here.
Time. Anyway.
I know. But I'm looking over your shoulder at the NFL Network, and they're flopping around the copy of the NFL Magazine.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it yet?
That's the same one I'm looking at over here.
Yes.
No, I have not seen it. No.
When did they come out with this?
I have no idea.
Why would they do that?
Is it like ESPN the magazine
yeah.
kind of thing? So
yeah.
it's like NFL Network.
And Tebow's on the cover, which is great and all, but I mean, why would the NFL feel the need to
come out with a magazine?
Come out with a magazine in this day and age of digitizing everything?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Do they actually think it's going to make money?
Let me ask
a question of our listeners.
Okay.
Would you purchase NFL magazine to read it? Or do you feel like the information that you're looking for you can get online or through this program or this website or what have you? Would you buy it? Will you buy it? Have you bought it? Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
This is the first time hearing of it, actually.
I know. Really? You hadn't heard it? Yeah.
No.
I just saw it for the first time yesterday. And then I just noticed on the NFL Network set, one of the guys was flashing a copy because it has Tebow on the cover.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, okay, I guess I can understand why a hardcore football fan would want it, but with so much information that's out there nowadays, why would you waste the money?
For it to be mailed to you.
For it to be mailed and you wait for it, and then, you know, then really it's only probably good for a day before it becomes dated. I mean, even ESPN, the magazine, is kind of like, you know, gone back a little bit. I mean, they're still printing it, but it wouldn't surprise me in the very near future they decide they're going to stop it because they're going to put it all online. You know, maybe it'll end up being a subscription because this whole thing is, you know, moving toward, you know, tablets. Everybody's going to have a tablet before too long. Now everybody's going to, now that everybody seems to have a computer or a laptop, I say everybody, I realize not everybody does, but it seems like it. And now it's going to move to tablet use. And so they're going to develop specific formats for tablet use.
Oh, yeah. Now. Yeah.
And they already are. PFW is going to be tabletized before too long, no doubt.
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah. It's, we're heading inexorably.
Inexorably.
Eric's
word for the day is inexorably. We have to do a word for the day. We really
I actually do that on Twitter.
Do you?
I do.
All right. Well, we're going to do it here in the playbook, too. Eric's word for the day. We need to come up with like an open and, you know, a little sound effect or something, Kev. What do you think? We do a little production on this?
Do some like classical music type.
Could have like a little, like a little jingle or something.
Yes, yes, yes. Make it sound very, scholastic and sophisticated.
Make it sound all scholastic and.
So when
stuff.
I'm instructing Rob Schuller on how to voice I'll have to be like, can you do a British accent?
Do a Masterpiece Theater type thing. Yeah, right.
Or you could just do it like, well, the word for the day.
that'd be for Andy Hart's word of the day.
Right. Word for the day is bull, you know. I'm not going to go that far. Not at least that far anyway. All right, your boy Derek from University of Arizona is out of class. Right, Derek, you're out of class?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
He never had any class to begin with.
What's up?
I said you never had any class to begin with.
That's true. I've been just hanging out down here for fun.
No rim shot
nice.
There?
Nice.
Jackie, behind the glass? Yeah, if you have to be told. I mean,
good, Kevin. Good.
Okay, Derek, congratulations are in order, huh?
For what?
For you.
How so?
Well, you've become the first student in university history to receive tenure from his university. You've been there so damn long.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Just shot fired. Joe Scalabino, I don't know. I called yesterday, so I'll keep this one short, but, you know, I was hoping you were going to be on. I took a shot at you. You weren't even here. It's not fun.
See, at least I do it to your face. I'm not a coward like you.
Oh, I'm not a coward. Don't give me that. By the way, you never tweet me back.
Yeah, I know. I try not to get involved in that whole nonsense. I only try to tweet back people who actually have legitimate concerns as much as possible.
Oh, I see how it is.
So you're saying, Derek, he doesn't have legitimate concerns?
Boy. What was that, John?
I was saying you don't have legitimate concerns?
About what?
No, what the stuff that you're tweeting me, that you want me to tweet back.
Oh, no, if I tweet you, it's usually just, like, friendly stuff. You know, I'm trying to be a nice guy, be the bigger man, you know. Something Eric hasn't become, but okay.
Wow. All right. Now it's on. Game on. All right. All right.
No, but Eric, I'm telling you right now, you followed my boy Eric's friend. You have to follow me. Patriot Haven. I'm going to tweet you right now.
Oh, I know who you are. I trust me. I know what you do.
Okay, and everyone else, follow John Rook out there if you have a Twitter, because he needs follows.
Now, let
okay?
me just ask you this. Ask you this. You're not going to fill up my timeline with a bunch of personal nonsense, are you? Because if you do, you're out.
Well, no.
I don't want any of this crap about how I'm at Starbucks getting a coffee. I don't give a damn. Just tweet out relevant information. That's all I care about.
And by the way, you have an excellent point there, Mr. Scalabino. You have an excellent point, because I don't subscribe to people to find out, you know, they're pulling into the Stop and Shop or they're going to someplace
for dinner.
Don't waste my time with that, because if I get that, I do follow you. I have two accounts there.
I have one for my personal stuff with, like, my friends.
There you go.
Okay.
That's fine.
Blog-related.
That's fine. And we subscribe to the blog-related one because we want to know when you put up a post. And I totally agree with that part of it. And that's the one. Those are the things that I'm looking for. And that's why on my Twitter account, I don't do personal stuff. It's all work-related. It's all work-related.
Follow John, you know, John Rook on Twitter, JRook0722. Go ahead. He needs followers. I'm telling you guys.
Thank you. He needs to get up there and follow.
But if this works, Derek, then I'll hire you.
All right.
But anyway, hey, I had a question about Doran Dickerson, because I really liked the pickup today. I don't know why I like it a lot, but he just has a lot of versatility, and I know that you've watched him, so I wanted to get your kind of thoughts on it a little bit.
Well, honestly, Dickerson was a guy that was used primarily as a pure tight end at Pittsburgh. Undersized, but tight end. Has good hands, has the ability to get, tough yardage and short yardage situations. What he described himself as, he's got some speed. He was picked up, he was on the Steelers roster, and then he hurt his thumb, and then, but he wasn't originally drafted by the Steelers. I think
he was drafted
by the Texans, right, Texans.
Yeah.
And then was in the Steelers camp this year. Then when he hurt himself, he came to an injury settlement because they knew that there wasn't going to be time or space for him by the time he got healthy. So.
Yeah, he spent a cup of coffee with Pittsburgh, the Steelers, in September.
Correct.
It was like literally 3 days, and then they cut him, and he's been out of work ever since.
But, here's a guy that we've known for a while that they really needed someone to come in as a third option at tight end. And, they've been kind of living large. And I'm not sure, why did they ever get rid of Gronk's brother?
Good question. I really don't know.
Well, he's not that good. I mean, I don't think he's...
Well, no, I understand, but you're also talking about a third tight end.
Exactly.
Here.
And, reps.
But, I think, in my opinion, and this is just a thought, when you have that third tight end, and when they bring in Solders, that third tight end...
Which they have been doing, by the way.
Sometimes they want to go ahead and do that big package where they have that extra tackle of their tight end.
Yeah.
And sometimes they want to get a little more flexible. Well, maybe they'll bring in Dickerson as that third tight end and have a little bit more versatility.
Yeah, Solder, it's really almost a misnomer to say that he's a third tight end, because he's not going out in pass patterns. He's more just a tackle eligible. He's just there to block.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I know, but I mean, if you had a guy who was like Dickerson or Dan Gronk, a guy who potentially could be a receiver and still give you that blocking threat.
Right.
I know Solder was a tight end originally when he went to Colorado, and so it wouldn't be out of the question if they threw the ball to him. But I don't know. When I see him go in there, I don't think, there's a threat that they're going to throw to him. If they ever do, then it'll be
I don't think they're going to throw to him either. I was just saying, if they bring in Solder, it's more for, running plays and when they want to kind of pound the rock, and I think that if they brought in Dickerson, which he's on the practice squad, right? So
he's on the practice squad.
Activated anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But if they were to activate him, I'm saying maybe it's just to bring in a little more versatility. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I just thought I was kind of curious, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Dickerson played in a power set, a pro-style offense set at Pittsburgh. You remember when Tyler Palko was the quarterback? He was part of that for a couple of years anyway, even though they were a little apart in age there. But he wasn't what we would call a spread formation. He was used also to line up and block. I think he and Henry Hynoski were even on the same team at Pittsburgh as well, if I recall correctly. And they were sort of interchangeable parts, although Hynoski was more of a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of used him as a receiver, whereas Dickerson was a receiver, and they kind of used him as a fullback. So I think he feels like, and the Patriots want the versatility. I think everybody realizes that. And so not only can he block, because he's used to that in a pro set, but he's got that versatility where they could line him up in the backfield if they needed to. They could put him in the slot. I mean, they can, he can be that hybrid receiver along the lines of an Aaron Hernandez, even though Hernandez is more of a pure receiver.
Right. All right. Well, good stuff. I just wanted to see what your thoughts on that, and have a good day, guys.
All right.
All right, Derek.
Way to go, Derek. See you soon. There you go. Got to get back to studies. or not?
No, I'm going with not.
Your friend Josh.
Did he write in?
Yeah, yes. he's come back.
All right.
Just to be clear, I was at the last two games in Denver, so I well know the Patriots' problems there. Second, check the timestamp on my Flex email, and you will see I sent that in a minute or two before you said it on the show. Keep your Twitter feed open, idiot. Third, I was asking where Fred would be hanging out while in D.C. I know where you will be, wherever Fred tells you to be, eating one bite of whatever he tells you you should eat, like a steak that you now don't want.
Inaccurate.
Okay.
Completely inaccurate because you included me on the where are you guys going.
Don't go getting all serious on me now. And then he signs it love and happiness. I like Josh. Josh is a good emailer.
Bad tweeter, though.
Not a good tweeter? Really?
I'm just trying to get him going.
Tyler from Georgia. Of course I would not buy NFL magazine. Why, you ask? Because I have spent my sports-related magazine money on subscription to PFW.
Good.
There you go. Anybody else, would you care to buy NFL magazine? If you have, great. Why? What do you like about it? If you have not, why not? One of the things that I'm asking today. That's sort of a late Johnny-come-lately question here. And then again, webradio@patriots.com, and you can also hit us up on the Facebook page. Unsung hero for the team this year. We've given you several suggestions in our opinions who we think some of these particular types of players could very well be for this football team, and we need your input. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398, the telephone number. Facebook and Twitter, yeah, we can do that too. Let's get a timeout in here, and then we will come back and continue with more right here in the Playbook.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
With PMW's Eric Scalavino in the house, you can reach us at 508-298-0398. As you heard, webradio at patriots.com. Get us on Facebook, Twitter, at jrook0722. It's got to be a more efficient way to do all of that, you know? But there's every time I turn around, there's a new social network thing coming up, you know? Can't keep up with all of it. Want to know who your unsung hero is on this team? Does nobody give a rat's you-know-what? I mean, have we given away all the good suggestions? I'm beginning to wonder if, hello, is this thing on? All right, a couple of suggestions anyway. Oh, here's on NFL Network. NFL Magazine, which we were talking about earlier, and whether or not you would get it or you would think about getting it or and why or why not. And Mary Beth says, I read it because we have it delivered to our medical office. All right? The patients need something to read while they wait.
She does get it
she
already?
She does get it.
How long has it been out?
Yeah, I would ask you, Mary Beth, how long has it been out? Because I wasn't even aware of it until yesterday. Seriously, was not even aware of the magazine's existence until yesterday. And why they would do it in this day and age is kind of beyond me. Tyler says, I wanted to get Eric's thoughts on the question I asked yesterday. A lot has happened since the beginning of the season with cuts, trades, and expectations of players. Mm-hmm. With all of that now in mind, at what point of the postseason do the Patriots need to make it to for you to feel like the season was a success given all that has happened?
Is this a trick question?
I don't know.
They need to make it to Indianapolis.
So they need to get to
and
the
win.
Super Bowl. Oh, so you don't think it's a successful season if they get to Indianapolis
no,
and lose?
I don't think any season is successful unless you win the Super Bowl.
Wow. It's not harsh.
Now, if this were the Detroit Lions, I would consider it a successful season that they have a winning record because historically, you know, they don't do that. This is a team with... some say the best, most genius coach in NFL history, one of, if not the best quarterback in NFL history. Mm-hmm. You put those two together, combined with great ownership, you're expected to win the Super Bowl every season. Rightly so. And if they don't, it's a disappointing season. Sorry. You went and signed every available high-profile free agent defensive lineman this summer,
considering,
in an effort to try to revamp your defense,
and you didn't do it though.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was saying, considering what the practicality of it is. I mean, frankly, because they went and got those guys on defense, I don't think that necessarily assured in my own mind that this was going to be a Super Bowl caliber defense. To me, I thought it was, you know, you're going out and getting Albert Haynesworth, you're grasping at straws. So I thought that we were in bad shape defensively, and that this was just a way to sort of stopgap it until they could get some of the younger talent to come along, to progress.
No, I see. I saw it as they finally realized that they didn't have their elite pass rusher to fit into their 3-4 scheme. So they did the right thing and converted to a 4-3 base, which they've played most of the year. And they tried to fix as many holes as they could in other areas. And that they were making a legitimate run at the Super Bowl. They don't make it, it's a disappointment. They make it and lose, it's a disappointment. Period. Especially in a year where there could be another 16-0 team going into the playoffs. What a kick in the groin that would be if the Packers go all the way
and get to 19-0
and get to 19-0 and the Patriots don't.
And I know you guys were talking about this at the end of PFW. Does that mean we should take the banner down?
They should take the banner down anyway.
Well, I agree with
you
that.
You don't put banners up for losing Super Bowl seasons.
I agree with that.
Never should have gone up in the first place. There's an entire building called the Hall of Patriot Place where there could have been enough commemoration of the 16-0 season in there. Doesn't need to be a banner reminding everybody of your failure in Super Bowl 42.
Yeah.
Needs to come down. Never should have gone up in the first place.
Eric has spoken. Steve says, I think the NFL magazine is really stupid, especially considering it is a monthly publication solely based on football. See, I didn't even know it was monthly.
I don't know anything about it.
By the time they write, edit, and ship it, I get a chance to read it, the information is irrelevant. The NFL moves too quickly. Who wants to read September football news in the middle of October? You know, that's a great point. If it's a monthly thing, then how could it be anything more than just features? And how did Tim Tebow get on the stinking cover? Because a month ago, he sucked.
That's a good point.
Right?
It's a good, well, yeah, in quotes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, quote-unquote, right. Sucked.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's a
I
good
think
point.
That's legitimate,
that's a
right?
Good point, yeah.
Mary Beth says, John, I misunderstood your question. Heard you ask if people subscribe to Sports Illustrated or get their info from the web, your show, etc.
I was going to say, how long
the NFL magazine
to
hard copy comes out December 13th.
Wow.
Okay.
So it hasn't even
debuted. Didn't even come out yet?
Okay.
So they're,
all right,
they're previewing
sense.
It?
So they're previewing it with Tebow on the cover. That makes more sense
okay.
now.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't it? That Tebow's on the cover now?
Yeah. It would make sense.
That would make
sense. He's on the cover for the December. But by the time, though, all right, so it comes out now.
So they're debuting it for the playoffs, basically.
So that's what, okay. Well, then
how
can they look into the crystal ball? I mean, it can't be anything more than just features that have nothing to do with the games themselves. Because in this day and age of immediacy, how is that going to be relevant? You can't even do stat updates. You can't do fantasy. You can't do standings because they're irrelevant. By the time you get it, it's old news. I don't get it. Maybe we should talk to one of the marketing people at NFL Magazine. Please help us understand your, you know, idiotic publication because we don't get it. All right. yeah. Well, guess I won't be bucking for a job there anytime soon. Tim says, might be taking some liberties with your unsung hero role because I'm not taking a new guy, an undrafted guy, or someone thrust into a different role, but someone who doesn't seem to get enough recognition, in my opinion. Matt Light. Here's a guy who some fans thought may not even be here this year after the drafting of Solder, yet he's still in there as the cornerstone going against top pass rushers week in, week out. Minimal penalties, consistent, quietly goes about his business. I remember the Dallas game. He got hurt right at the end, inside 2 minutes, was down, but he toughed it out, played on, saving the Pats an injury timeout and a snap without him on the field blocking Ware, as we know that drive ended in the winning score. Does anybody buy magazines anymore? Different subject, obviously. Anything in it is old news and can be found for free on the net. 20 years too late, NFL. Kind of reiterating what we've talked about here. But what do you think about Matt Light?
Unless they're trying to introduce a tablet eventually, and this is
maybe that's how they're doing.
Who knows?
We don't know how the NFL is marketing, but they really feel like they can get enough of a marketing niche here? I mean, that there's enough of an audience that will read NFL Magazine, especially if it's monthly.
I don't know.
Come on, really? Monthly?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Sports Illustrated Magazine is gone, but Sports Illustrated has been considered the Bible, you know, for well over now 60 years almost, and since the early 50s.
What do you mean they're gone?
No, I said they've been considered the Bible, and they're still going.
Oh, going.
They're still
gone.
Going.
Sorry.
No, they're still going. Pardon me. That's a little bit of the Texan in me.
Yeah.
They're still going strong. It's because they've existed, and they've had to reform themselves,
yeah.
and they have a web outlet for it and all that kind of stuff.
And now they do multiple covers for different regions of the country most weeks.
So they've managed, they've managed to adapt, but to
yep.
start just a purely print
yeah.
right now, I think it's sheer lunacy. But okay.
Yeah.
It is the NFL, and we all know it is all-knowing and all-seeing. So,
as far as Matt Light, not a bad one to consider, especially if you now think if you had gone with Nate Solder as your left tackle going into the season, as many people thought was going to be the case, and I think we at PFW, I think we're one of them, what would you have done at right tackle with Sebastian Vollmer being hurt all year? You know, and Marcus Cannon not coming onto the scene until just a couple of weeks ago.
You would have had to go on the street free agent route
yeah.
again.
So Matt Light's not a bad one to, you know. Or they would have to call up one of these practice squad guys. Kept a Steve Mineri instead of cutting him, or, you know, brought up Matt Copa or one of these guys who, you know.
How many guys do they have? Still have a couple of linemen on the practice
they
squad?
They do. Matt Copa is one of them.
Mm-hmm. And
that's it as far as offensive linemen.
Wow.
Because Nick McDonald got promoted.
That's right. He did get promoted off the
So he's on the
squad.
Active roster now.
So they haven't replenished his spot on the practice squad. They haven't done.
Well, they signed Dickerson today.
Okay.
So they have 8 on the practice squad now, but there's
Don't we expect Dickerson though to be activated at some point?
I don't see that. No.
No.
I mean, I don't understand why they would need him now when they've done so well to this point without him.
Okay.
Unless he, you know, shows something in practice so,
I don't know.
So
I
remarkable.
Mean, usually this team has enough foresight. And I think one of the things that we've learned about the Patriots is they've had enough foresight to realize that, you know, hey, in 2 weeks when we face X, we might need this, which we don't have, so let's go get it.
Maybe.
So there's got to be a role, I would think, for Doran Dickerson to fulfill at some point in time on down the line before the season is over. Otherwise, why do you make this move now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about the kid. I mean, I trust what you said about him, you know, and all the different roles and whatnot, but to include somebody like that now would mean you'd be doing things with your offense that you haven't been doing. And I don't know if you really want to mess with your offense right now.
Well, I don't know that I would call it messing. I would say tweaking. I think you always need to tweak and you always need to grow. You always need to try to expand. You always need to try to improve, because when you stand pat is when you fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I don't think this team has really done. I think they've managed to continue to – I mean, look at the roster moves that we've made. Nobody has agreed with every roster move that's been made, but you know that the roster is going to continue to evolve because it has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the roster stays stagnant, then that's when you're going to fall behind the other guys.
Yep.
So you always have to continually evolve. Sometimes you take chances. In fact, the Patriots, as we have documented well on this program and others, Patriots have taken chances that have not come to fruition. Have not borne fruit, have not mm-hmm. panned out. How many other ways do we have to look at it here? It ain't worked. So because of that, it's almost like, all right, so maybe this will stick, or maybe this will stick. And I think really, myself, and I know, you know, for some of the fans that have, you know, sounded off on this, there doesn't seem to be any sort of a rhyme or reason that is readily apparent. I realize, and I think most fans realize, that the Patriots play they're, you know, with their decision making close to the vest. They don't tell us why. They don't tell us when. They just tell us it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why we love it is what it is around here, because that's the way it is.
love it?
Okay. It doesn't matter if you love it. It is. It just is.
Yeah.
And because of that philosophy, I think they don't. The one problem that people have is I don't really mind there being an autonomous decision-making process here, but how about a little background into why the move was made? I mean, how about a little foresight? You know, why do things need to be so closed-minded or closed-mouthed?
Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, maybe if you help us understand, the criticism becomes less.
Mm-hmm.
Because the criticism is abundant for a team that's 9-3,
yeah,
and
you
right
know,
now
you
sitting
the
as the number one seed in the AFC. The criticism for this team is over is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a ton of it. That's why we love Nitpick Tuesdays around here, because team's winning and we're still, you know, picking nits on these guys. And a lot of that is because of the attitude that is prevalent, you know, within the organization. As we've always said around here, it is what it is.
And you don't want to rest on your laurels either. You always want to look for areas where you can improve.
No
question.
Which
is why Nitpick Tuesday is probably so popular.
You always have to look to improve somehow, some way. Josh sends you another note.
Another one?
The love note. He says,
come on.
And to clarify one further detail, I made a jerk out of myself long before this last week and long before Twitter.
That's the best point he's made, I think, actually. I overlooked that fact.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Actually, just one quick question for Josh. Do you actually live in D.C. or just work there?
Looks like he works there, so I think he's emailing us from his workplace.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
So employer's happy about
you have
that.
To, no, yeah, let's give him a little props for that, all right?
He's
sticking his neck out. Anybody that's doing
unless
this from
he owns
work.
Unless he owns the business.
Anybody that's listening to us from work, you deserve major plaudits, all right? Because mm-hmm. I realize that you are trying to get some things done. You're probably listening just to sort of help your day go by, which we're greatly appreciative.
Can I just toss a little something out for the listeners?
Sure.
And you can do this today and tomorrow. I'm going to leave in a few minutes, but our plans aren't completely settled for where we're going to hang out on Saturday night.
Okay.
Anybody have suggestions as to cool places to hang out in Metro D.C.?
I have one.
In the city. Yeah, you got one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
You laugh when I tell you. It's called the Cactus Cantina in Georgetown. Nice little Mexican place.
Mm-hmm.
Great margaritas.
Reminds you of your roots.
Yes, it does. Very much so. It's just like a couple of blocks off of Metro Line.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Georgetown.
Yeah,
okay.
Georgetown. Go to Georgetown. Georgetown's a great place to go hang out anyway. Got a lot of cool bars in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. But, yeah, if you can, anybody, suggestions as to favorite good haunts to go and check out when we're in D.C.?
There's another one, too, a breakfast place that we like to go to when we're on the road in D.C. It's called Bowie Mungers.
Where's that?
It's also in Georgetown. But I used to have the address memorized. Now it's almost like I'm a local. I know that if I turn here and there, I can get there.
Yeah.
Typical, right?
Rhode Island direction.
That's a Rhode Island direction in Washington, D.C.,
landmarks.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know landmarks. So.
Well, at least D.C. is a place where landmarks are, you know.
Just Google Bowie Mungers and then you.
How do you spell that?
Munger. Mungers, I believe.
Okay.
But it's also
the
in
breakfast
Georgetown.
Joint?
Yeah, they have great egg and cheese sandwiches, mm-hmm. For breakfast, and good coffees, and they do great hot cakes there too, mm-hmm. and it's nice.
We have some ideas as to what we might want to do, but I'm always just open for suggestions, you know, to have some options.
Are we talking nightlife or just
nightlife? Nightlife, yeah, because you know it's 1 o'clock game, so we're not going to have too much time in the morning.
I've got another very good place for you, but I'll have to go offline to tell you about it.
Oh, it's one of those places. Strippers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet Strippers knows this place. I bet he does.
I'm sure he does.
Brian the Fox says, despite his Pro Bowl past, I agree with you on Brian Waters. When I cast my Pro Bowl vote, Waters was the only lineman from the Pats I voted for. Several games this year, the line has gotten whooped, but never Waters.
Yeah.
I'll also throw Solder out there as an unsung hero as well. He was a first-round pick, sure, but all I hear from Pats fans are complaints about how we didn't take a pass rusher. Where's the love? Mm. Nate's played extremely well and has been surprisingly versatile for his size.
That's a good one. That's another good one.
That's a good one,
sure.
Brian. Yeah, those are both good choices.
Mm-hmm.
I also had one more here come from Facebook. Barbara, she says, Andre Carter.
Well, I thought your unsung thing was going to be for guys who weren't expected to start.
Well, yes, but I think you could also put unsung as your own personal expectations. for a player. I mean, we signed Andre Carter. He's a veteran. He kicked around both in Washington and in San Francisco. And so,
well, he was the seventh pick in the draft.
Okay, I realize that. But has he has he really lived up to what we thought the seventh pick in the draft?
I think he's in his 11th year in the league.
Again, you got to consider the teams he was playing with in relative obscurity for bad teams. He hasn't really stood out. So because of that, coming to New England, we wondered whether or not he would have any gas left in the tank, right?
Oh, he's had plenty.
And he's had plenty. So in that regard, I can understand why she would make that pick as
Andre Carter. I just thought it would. I did. He was one that first came to mind, but I didn't think he qualified in our discussion.
Anything
because he was starting.
Anything qualifies. Anything qualifies.
All right.
But you're right. I mean, obviously, by the letter of the law, you're talking about someone who probably toils in obscurity, is probably a backup, or someone who was a backup, or even a practice squatter that has been thrust into some prime time action through injury, transition, attrition, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
Right.
That, in my eyes, is really kind of where I was going with unsung hero, although I could see where you could have other definitions of unsung hero. You know, for this team this year. Mm-hmm. And obviously, with still a month left to go in the regular season, there's still an opportunity here for a lot of guys to step up. I mean, quite frankly, you know, it'd be very easy, I think, to call bust this year. Who's been a bust in your estimation? And I think we all know that, you know,
a long list.
Well, there's a good sized list, but I think overwhelmingly, the people, you know, fans would argue that Chad Ochocinco's been a bust.
Well, Haynesworth would top my list.
Yeah, because, and you know what? I wouldn't have even thought of him because he's already gone from the team.
He would top my list because I know, or at least I feel, that Ochocinco has tried. He may not have, you know, he may still not get it, but I do believe he is trying and is working hard. Whereas the same could not have been said for Haynesworth.
Okay. All right, before you go, how about the practice update today?
Three players missing, two who were the same from last week, Spikes and Vollmer. I don't know when we're ever going to see Spikes again.
How about Jermaine Cunningham, too, by the way? Just off the top of my head.
Vanish as a bust?
Yeah.
I mean, my expectations for him were so low that I don't even – he doesn't even
how is he still? How is he still on the roster? Just because he's a high
God
draft
knows.
Pick? And to me, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
No.
I mean,
oh,
when,
God,
you,
no.
when you let the guys go that you've
they
let
just
go.
Just cut Taylor Price.
Just cut Taylor Price. Why is Jermaine Cunningham still here?
It's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know. I couldn't have any lower expectations for Jermaine Cunningham since they drafted him.
What happened with him?
Bill's in love with him for some reason. I don't know why. Even Urban Meyer snickered when he was asked about that recently.
Really?
On record.
Really?
I was like, yeah, you know, Bill saw something in him. I don't know, because he could barely start for Florida, for Meyer. But every time Bill went down there, he saw something that he liked, and I don't know. Continuing with practice, though. So Spikes, Vollmer, and Ridley. We're not there today.
Okay.
They were in the bubble because it's raining, and they had full pads. And it was, as I was telling these guys when I got in, a very enthusiastic practice. And it was hard to tell whether it was sort of a fine line between being light-hearted and being, like, serious, like, kick-in-the-ass kind of enthusiastic. There was a little bit of both going on, that dynamic today. It was a little strange. And I think they need the kick in the ass enthusiasm because they need to play 60 minutes.
Gotcha.
And they haven't been able to do that. And they nearly blew it against the winless Colts last week. But also taking it light because I think they have to realize, you know, the bigger picture here. And they're gonna be in the playoffs. Even though mathematically I know it's still, you know, not a foregone conclusion just yet. But you want the guys to have fun. I think one of the problems in 07 when they went on that magical run was that as the playoffs approached, they got tighter. And they could feel, you could almost feel the tangible pressure that they were under.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to keep it loose and keep your perspective on things, that this, again, is just a game. I know there's a lot of money at stake, and players, teams, owners have a lot of money at stake in these things. But on Sundays when they kick off, it's a game. You know, you're not thinking about the dollars at that point. You're thinking about the execution of the plays that you're running. And you have to try to keep it light because I think when guys are putting that much pressure on themselves, they hurt themselves a little bit more. And so I kind of like to see that they're keeping that focus but also that perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Josh has one final answer for you here.
Okay.
I work in D.C., live in Virginia.
All right.
Thank God for the BlackBerry app. It's the only way I can listen to the Patriots.com shows live. You'll probably have to be more specific about what type of environment you are looking for Saturday night. There are a ton of places in D.C. They cover a huge range of atmospheres. I have a four-year-old, so I have no other idea other than the Patriots bars in Virginia. I am officially out of the loop.
Okay. Looking for any and all suggestions. Doesn't matter. I just like to know what good places are, you know?
Okay.
Very doesn't good. Matter.
Okay. You got it. We'll go offline for one.
All right.
All right, E. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, man.
All right. Coming up in hour number two, we'll visit with Larry Michael, who's the radio voice of the Washington Redskins. We also get back to the phones. Eldridge, hang in there. We'll get right to you. Pete Shepard will also be around, and we still need your suggestions for Patriots' unsung hero so far this year. Webradio@patriots.com or hit us up on Facebook in the Playbook.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That
is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hour number two, Inside Patriots Playbook for Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio. Our thanks, of course, as always, to Eric Scalavino from PFW, to not only holding down the fort a bit last week, but to jumping in on the opening hour of the program, as he always does on Wednesdays. He'll be back again tomorrow as well. In the meantime, your questions, your comments, your concerns, your criticisms. Webradio at Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook and Twitter, too. And on the Ace Ticket Hotline, that's where we find our friend Eldridge in North Carolina. What's up today, Eldridge?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's happening today?
I'm doing pretty good. I think Nate Jones, unsung hero.
Well, you know, he's a recent one, but I would have to give you... You know, and I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. The guy played pretty well because we didn't really even notice him much on Sunday, did we?
No, we didn't. No, we played pretty good, and then Molden did. Molden playing pretty good.
Yep, Antoine Molden has improved. I agree with that.
But I don't agree with Hittebone, man. For some reason, I just can't I can't find myself to do that.
Well, you know? We had another one. Mary Beth said that she thinks that Hittebone and even Edelman should be unsung heroes for their defensive play. Obviously, Edelman's played a little bit of safety, as we saw Matt Slater do this last week. You know, Hittebone, you know, he hasn't done anything overtly wrong. I don't think he's made any outstanding plays, but he hasn't. I mean, he's been adequate. And I think when you consider where he's come from, he was a special teams maven. Here's a guy that's what he was a member of the Jets for anyway, primarily on special teams. And then when you take a special teams guy and you thrust them into a starting role on the defensive side of the ball especially, then okay.
I can see that part too, but I don't see many games where he missed tackles, like he's ducking instead of tackling, and missed coverage, you know, and just getting burnt.
Well, if he's missing tackles, honestly, I haven't seen that. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen it. It may very well be that he has done that. I'd have to go back and look at tape to see if indeed that is the case. But I don't think he shies away from anybody. Have you seen how this guy's built? Guy's like a truck.
Yeah, I've seen him miss a couple, especially against the Bills game, Raiders game, and what's the one for that? Can't think of the other one, but he missed.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to try to watch him a little bit more closely this week.
Okay. Right, here's my other concern.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's more concerned about the Denver game.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're taking this Washington game a little bit lightly. I wouldn't, because Shanahan was in Denver, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a pretty good defense. No-name quarterback as of Cutler. He had Marshall, and he had Portis in the backfield. And they beat our butts, you know. So Shanahan's back in Washington now with a no-name quarterback. Well, Rex throws me, he's not that good, but he's good enough to put points on the board. You know, he's accurate. And sometimes, you know, he can get all the little jittery and get off his stride or whatever. But they also have a little running game. And one thing they did have that Denver had back then was a defense that can put pressure on Brady. Mm-hmm. And we know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they also got coverage. So I'm kind of skeptical about this game. Matter of fact, the last four games I'm skeptical about. All of them, to be honest.
All of the games? Really?
All of them. Because I'm going to tell you why.
Even the Bills and the Dolphins?
Dolphins on a roll. Bills don't took a slide. Maybe Bills, I'm just a little bit. But see, the Bills whooped us the first time. So they're going to have that little momentum going in when we play them. Denver is a different animal. I don't know what we're going to do about that one. But like I said, Washington got a defense. Dolphins, they got a little defense.
Well, Dolphins, you know, by the way, are not on the road. They're here on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, they're here on Christmas Eve. I understand
that.
Yeah. They're here. But, you know, if Chad Henne could put almost 400 yards passing on our defense, that was the first game we played. Matt Moore can do the same thing, but he's not as interception free as Henne was. That's what I've been looking at. You know,
we're gonna start calling you Chicken Little because the sky's falling.
No, I'm not
Eldridge.
Chicken Little. I'm not Chicken Little. Believe me, I'm a pass fan to the heart. You know, even on the PS3 is who I play with. Fat players and fat fans to the heart. You know, and I heard you talked about Doran Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
He's more used as H-back, so it means he don't have no speed to stretch the defense. And that's what you tell. That's what I'm.
Well, I don't think you would ask for a backup, a third tight end, to have speed. If he had speed, he wouldn't be your third tight end, would he?
Oh, he's a third tight end now?
Yeah.
They got him down as a receiver. At 6'2", I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's somehow like, like Price was.
No, he's he's an H-back type.
Oh, in other words, we stuck again with nobody besides Underwood if he ever get on track.
Well, now, I'm kind of, but I'm a little curious as to your apparent, you know, need for someone that will stretch the defense, because this team is still managing to move the football and still managing to score.
Yes.
So how much better could this this offense be if they actually had somebody to stretch the field? And if you had somebody to stretch the field,
it could be a whole lot better. I can tell you what, it could be a whole lot better, because then you got somebody that's going to scare the defense and come to playoff time. And I got a feeling everybody's going to do just like the Jets did, their little recipe. You man up, you push those receivers and the tight ends around, we bump them, and then we ain't got nobody to stretch the field, small ball and short, just like in the playoffs. We ain't got nobody to stretch the field. You know, you got Chad, but Chad can't get the playbook. And I think they should have cut Chad instead of Price. These gave Price a chance, but, you know, that's water under the bridge now. He's gone.
Did you hear what I said yesterday, Aldridge, about Taylor Price and why he's probably gone?
No, I didn't hear that part, no.
Okay, well, he's probably gone. And, again, this is just conjecture because no one sees every minute of practice. But if he can't get onto the field, why do you think he can't get onto the field? Why? Why do you think he can't get on the field?
Don't know. Maybe he don't know the playbook. But
okay, all right. One step at a time. He might not know the playbook. All right, so that could be one possibility. Number two, generally what do you have to do in order to get on the field?
Be more stews and learn how to.
You got to know the playbook. You also got to have to perform in practice.
Perform, yeah, you got to perform.
Okay,
yeah.
And maybe he's not doing that. Maybe they've given him reps in practice that he had no clue on. And then, of course, the bottom line into all of this is you got to have Tom Brady's confidence. If you don't have Brady's confidence, he's not going to throw your way. And I think Tom Brady probably feels more comfortable with a veteran like Ocho, even though Ocho has had his share of problems this year. He probably feels more comfortable going to him than he does to Taylor Price. It's that simple. Now, Taylor's not without a job. He got picked up pretty quickly by Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know that. That's what I'm saying. Somebody else must have saw something that we didn't see.
Well, they also had a need, too. So, I mean, you know, they had a need that the Patriots right now don't have. The Patriots don't have an over-the-top passing game. They rarely have had an over-the-top passing game. They might have had it for, you know, I don't know, a year out of Randy Moss's existence here. But really, they've never really had one. They've never really had one in Tom Brady's tenure here. They've never really been able to stretch the field by in the purest sense of the word, other than the one year that Randy Moss in 2007 primarily.
In And they didn't win that year either.
So all I'm saying is that sometimes the ability to stretch the field just might be a tad overrated. We talk about it. I agree. I think it would be a good thing, and certainly couldn't hurt this offense if they had the ability to give somebody else to something to think about. But it hasn't. You know, we can't quantify, Eldridge, how much it's hurt, because quite frankly, it hasn't. They're still winning. They're 9-3, and they're in the top spot of the AFC right now.
Tyler, the other four teams, yeah, we've always been that way. But when it comes to the playoffs, like I said, when it comes to the playoffs, that's when it's, like, stops.
All right, then let's hold this conversation then the week before the first playoff game, and then we'll discuss the ability or the inability to go deep or to go over the top or to stretch a defense, and we'll see it again, depending upon who the matchup is in their first playoff game, then we'll revisit this conversation then, and you may very well be right. But let's wait and see what happens between now and then. We're talking about something that's at least 5 weeks away.
Okay, one more question.
Go ahead.
Okay, I looked on the roster, which was injured reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Barrett, when would he, anybody got an idea when he'd be back? And I see that we have a cornerback named Brett Loggett, 6'1", Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
He's on injured reserve. I never know we had nobody like him.
Lockett was, I think he actually went on IR in the earlier part of the season, just a backup defensive back safety. Trying to remember. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Josh Barrett.
Yeah, Josh Barrett. Trying to remember.
He was safety.
Yeah.
30.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I think I'd probably have to look that up in terms of the transaction, see if I could figure out when and why specifically he was put out. But again, rest assured, if these guys, you know, first of all, if they're hurt, they're hurt. Second of all, and so there's nothing you can do about it. Second of all, if they're not hurt, then there's a reason why they're inactive.
Okay. Well, I just wonder, you know, if they was on the injured reserve list. I just wonder if they're going to come off or they still.
No,
you know,
injured reserves for the year. So if they're on IR, they're done for the year. They cannot come back.
Okay.
Not until the year's over. Correct. Correct.
All right. Thanks, Judge.
All right. Hey, Eldridge, thanks, man. Have a good one. There you go. Eldridge in North Carolina. You know, he's got, you know, questions that we all need to know about, right? Jim sends this on Facebook. As far as the unsung heroes, all the wide receivers playing defensive back, Edelman in particular. It's probably a pretty good choice. I could understand why Julian Edelman could be considered an unsung hero. He's the one that actually started the, you know, defensive trend for offensive receivers that we saw Matthew Slater pick up again last week. And then he says also the second and third string centers, Connolly and McDonald. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier, Jim, with Eric Scalavino. You could certainly make a case for all three of the players that have played center. You've got Connolly, you got Ryan Wendell, and Nick McDonald, who had to come in last week and got his first start the very week that he was signed by this team, and the Patriots really didn't miss a beat. You've had four different players playing the center position for the Patriots this year, and they really have not missed a beat. And I don't think that's really denigrating Dan Copen, who went out in week one with a bad ankle. But I think it just shows you that this is why the Patriots preach versatility when they go after offensive linemen. They want offensive linemen that can play multiple positions. They want a tackle that can swing to the other side of the field. They want a guard that can move over and play tackle, or a guard that can move over and play center. They want a center that can go over and play guard if need be. And that's what they've got. They've got guys who can play multiple positions, who are interchangeable parts. So when you have an instance, you have a story, you have a situation like you have this year with the injuries that have become absolutely just they've been crazy at the offensive center position, that you can overcome them. And this team has managed to overcome them. That's actually a good choice, Jim. All three of the backup centers that are in there now, yes, you could qualify them as unsung heroes without a doubt. Tim sends this note. He says, stretching the field is overrated. We didn't do it from 01 to 05 either. I don't want to see a quick strike score and then put the defense back on the field. I like the dink and dunk, moving the ball down the field, eating the clock, and winning the time of possession. Actually, I do too, Tim. I understand the need for being able to stretch a defense. There are several thought process is going on here. Number one, if you have someone that's a speed burner, then you probably have to recognize that, you know, the corner is going to need some help from a safety. So invariably that should leave somebody else open underneath, right? If you don't complete a pass over the top to your speed burner, then yes, in theory, it opens up the middle not only for your underneath routes, which could make Wes Welker even better than he is, if that's even possible to do. And number two, in theory, having someone who can stretch the field can open up your running game a little bit better. You've heard the old adage, you know, we run to set up the pass. Well, I think we all realize in the 21st century, you pass to set up the run. That's just the way the NFL game has evolved. And the Patriots pass whether they run or not. They're one of the few teams, I think, that you can't really categorize as a, you know, pass-first, run-first team. I mean, I think most teams are pass-first nowadays. I don't know too many teams that are still run-first. Even the teams that run the ball particularly well, you know, at 125 yards or more per game in the NFL, even those teams are still pass-first teams. Everybody's pass-first. And I don't think every team has a quote-unquote over-the-top kind of guy that can stretch a field. Every team does it. Teams still have a hard time defending it. Otherwise, why would teams be so pass-happy? You still see guys throw for 300-plus every week. You still see an odd 400, you know, plus yard game every week. You still see a team score 35 or 40 points or more every week. This isn't enough offense for you? I tend to agree with Tim. Stretching the field is overrated. It's nice to have if you can get it. But if you don't necessarily have it, you can still thrive with your offensive schemes and your sets and your personnel without it. So, anyway, just, you know, kind of some food for thought where, you know, that whole situation is concerned. I mean, again, I understand why people would think that, why they would want to think that a little bit, but I do think it's a little bit overrated. A little bit overrated. A little bit more on Doran Dickerson, who was assigned to the practice squad today. He's actually going to wear Troy Brown's number 80, old number 80, I should say. Hasn't been with the team since the Steelers gave him an injury settlement back in September. He was signed with the Steelers practice squad, so he really wasn't there, but for about a week. He had a ligament in his thumb that had to get fixed, and he's had surgery on it, and he's been rehabbing it, and he's only been healthy really enough to get back on the field over the last 2 weeks. Came into the NFL as a seventh-round draft choice of the Houston Texans a year ago, and he was with the Texans through all of training camp this year before he was let go and then was picked up for the Steelers by the Steelers for about a week. They had moved him out to receiver, and guess it didn't go very well because then they cut him. In his time with the Steelers, that's where he was moved more toward the inside into his quote-unquote H-back tight end role, and that's really what he played at the University of Pittsburgh, and I'm sure that's why Steelers probably picked him up. They probably had some knowledge. Hey, the Panthers share, you know, the stadium with the Steelers, so I'm sure there's some knowledge of Doran Dickerson within the Steelers camp. They thought, well, you know what, we have a need here. We might be able to use him. That's what he was more suited for at Pittsburgh. But it only lasted about a week until he tore up his thumb. So, at any rate, that's, you know, that's some of the information on Dickerson. He's 6'2 and 227 pounds. And he's now on the Patriots practice squad. The one thing that concerns me, I think, the most about this Sunday's game, and I think I said this yesterday, I mentioned that I even mentioned this probably, I think I did on my Monday recap from the Sunday game on Go Local Prov. The one thing that really concerns me about Washington is the pass rush that they have. They flat out get after you with Brian Arakpo, Brian Kerrigan. You know, the Patriots did seem to handle, you know, Freedy and Mathis this past week fairly well, but I think these guys are just younger, quicker, maybe even a little faster. And I do believe that that will be part of the focus and has been and will be part of the focus for the offensive line this week, is trying to make sure that the Redskins pass rushers don't get to Tom Brady. I want to jump into that a little bit more coming up here. The radio play-by-play voice of the Washington Redskins, Larry Michael, is going to join us. Still want your thoughts, webradio@patriots.com on unsung heroes for the Patriots. Also hit us up on Facebook. We'll get the timeout in. We'll come back and talk a little Redskin football coming up.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Drawing.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
isn't it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Back inside the playbook, Patriots and the Washington Redskins. Coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Redskins are 4-8. I don't know if you know this. This is just the ninth meeting all time between the Patriots and the Redskins. Not a lot of games between these two teams, and this is one of the few teams that's still out there now. Even all this recent success that the Patriots have had that still own a winning record over the Patriots, 6 wins to just 2. The two Patriots victories were the last one in 2007, the last time they played the Redskins, and the Patriots blew the Redskins out here at Gillette, 52-7. Perhaps you'll recall that, 4 years ago. Before that, 4 years previous, in 2003, when the flex scheduling and the rotating schedule started, you play every division once every 4 years here in the other league, they lost 20-17 in D.C. back in 2003. The only other Patriots win was back in 1972, and that was a 24-23 home win. The Patriots, in other words, have never won in Washington. Let me say that again. The Patriots have never won against the Redskins in Washington or Landover, Maryland, whichever the case may be. Never. I don't know what that says, what that means, but it's just the third time the Patriots have gone to Washington. They went again in, let's see, they were there in 81. And they were there again in 03. So the only other time they've played there in 81, they lost a close 24-22 game. So both of the games they have played in Washington have been very close, one-score games, but they did not win either one, for what it's worth. 2007, you might remember a little bit about that game. Joe Gibbs was still coaching the Redskins at the time. 52-7. That was obviously part of that whole 07, 16-0 regular season juggernaut that the Patriots just kind of steamrolled right over. And they didn't put up a whole lot of resistance that day. Can't imagine that, you know, it'll be anything but that again here. Although, again, as I suggested, one of the things that does concern the most here is the fact that Redskins do have a considerable pass rush. The secondary has also performed fairly well over the course of the year. A lot of that is certainly predicated to the pass rush. But it, like so many others around the league, has been somewhat inconsistent, certainly has been banged up. D'Angelo Hall and Josh Wilson, the starting corners, LaRon Landry, Ashimigo Otagwe, they've been dealing with injuries out of the secondary. Let me see if I look at their corners as they now stand. Yeah, D'Angelo Hall and Josh Wilson back there. And then at safety, they have Landry and Otagwe. All right. So certainly a representative. I just want to make sure nobody had gotten hurt again before I had realized it. Some decent talent in the secondary. Decent talent, decent ability. Landry missed the Jets game last week, I believe, with a groin problem. Atagwe, according to the report I have here, was at less than 100%, dealing with some knee and some toe injuries. So they are banged up in the secondary, but we'll take a look at what their injury report looks like when it comes out, when the injury reports come out after 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Reed Doty and Dejon Gomes are the backups, have seen some time but have largely not played extremely well, not played well at all. I'm going to guess, and again, just a guess, you probably see man coverage. And if you see man coverage, that certainly would favor the Patriots with Welker and Branch being primary targets here. I'm not sure, though, that if the safeties are all that banged up, and again, I do think that Atagwe and Landry are decent safeties, especially Ashimigo Atagwe. I've liked him for some time. But if they're banged up, I don't know how the Redskins realistically expect to get anything but single coverage on either Rob Gronkowski or Aaron Hernandez. And if that's the case, well, then Tom Brady should have plenty of time to find his targets, depending upon the results of the defensive line and the linebackers rushing the quarterback. To me, right now, that has to be the prior concern. While the secondary seems to be decent when healthy, the major concern has to be Arakpo and Kerrigan. The two have combined for 12 sacks this year for the Redskins. That has to be, that has to be a concern. The defensive coordinator is Jim Haslett. I know the name sounds familiar to many of you that have, followed it, simply because Haslett has been in the NFL for, 16, 17 years, former head coach of the New Orleans Saints. I believe this is his second year as the defensive coordinator for Mike Shanahan there in Washington. His defenses are primarily known for being aggressive. They have been strong against the run. In fact, I believe they've led the league twice even as well in the past when he was with the Saints. They have finished high in rushing yards allowed per attempt, or low as the case may be here. And I think, I think it's kind of realistic to expect that a guy who was a former linebacker himself, Haslett was, to be able to be an architect for a formidable defense. So you're talking about pressure from the front seven. And that traditionally is something that a Haslett defense has done, and done pretty well. He's tried to incorporate more pressure off of the edge from the linebacker spot with guys like Arakpo, who's really, he was more of a down lineman at defensive end than he was a linebacker, but they've moved in college. But since he's been in the NFL for a couple of years, they've moved him to outside linebacker, and he's thrived in that role. So they've found a spot for a guy like Arakpo and then Kerrigan on the other side in order to be able to thrive and perform up to their capabilities. As far as their defensive line, you've got Adam Carricker and Stephen Bowen at the ends. You've got Barry Caulfield, who's the nose tackle. Nothing that looks terribly formidable there. The linebacking core also features at inside linebacker London Fletcher, who I know that you'll recognize that name for times that he spent in the AFC East, primarily with Buffalo. You've got Arakpo and Kerrigan on the ends. You've got London Fletcher and Perry Riley, who starts at inside linebacker now. You've also got Byron Westbrook, who backs up Josh Wilson at cornerback, who's a name that should be familiar. So you've got some players there that, certainly are familiar on the defensive side of the ball. There's some talent. Redskins have a little bit of talent on that side of the ball. Offensively, I'm not sure that this is a team that scares anybody. Rex Grossman, as we all know, has been one of the great enigmas, I think, in the NFL. Here's a guy that when he was with Chicago didn't pan out, plain and simple. That's why he was sort of sent packing. This year, the Redskins have been sort of mostly down, but they did have a little bit of an upside to the season. I mean, they started out 3-1, and their one loss early in the year was to the Dallas Cowboys. I think that was a last-second field goal in that game. So the Redskins were 3-1 after the first month of the season. Grossman was, you know, in control at quarterback. And Redskins looked like they might actually have something going. But then the Redskins lost six games in a row. Grossman lost his starting job to John Beck, former BYU product. And Grossman is back in there at quarterback now. But they're still looking for, you know, strong play. They're still looking for consistency. They're still looking for something anyway. Beck, obviously, they were miserable in the three games that he got a start. So Grossman gets reinserted, and since he was reinserted, they did seem to get a bit of a jolt. They've been putting more points on the board. They've scored 66 points in the last three games. I'm going to count this up here. Yeah, 66 in the last three. So, you know, no, that's not Patriot-like on offense, but at least it is something. I think John Beck, looking at the other three games here that he was at quarterback, they managed to score 21 points total in the three games that he was at quarterback. So they are getting more production out of Grossman. Last week, however, against the Jets, Grossman, I don't know, some fans might want to think that he reverted to his old self. I don't really know, but 19 of 46 had a pick against the Jets last week, and the Jets won it by, 34-19, so a couple of touchdowns. He will not have, apparently, his favorite target, Fred Davis. Davis is out for the rest of the year, along with Trent Williams. They did violate the league's policy on drugs. That news did come about earlier this week. So no Fred Davis, no Trent Williams in front of him on the offensive line. Former Patriot Jabbar Gaffney is a part of the wide receiver core in Washington, and you can expect that he will certainly be a target. And my guess would be he probably will be sufficiently motivated to step up and play. Anytime, you know, you come back and you play for a team that has let you go at one time or another, and I'm not sure why they ever really let Jabbar Gaffney go. I thought he actually filled in quite nicely here. But, all right, for whatever reason, you kind of agree to kind of move on, and Jabbar Gaffney will have his opportunity. Dante Stallworth also returns. And then you've got Santana Moss and Anthony Armstrong as other receivers. So I think, you know, the Redskins passing the ball against the Patriots secondary, you got to think that there is at least the potential there for some problem. Moss on one side, Gaffney on the other. Tight end Fred Davis won't be there. Roy Helu is a running back, I think, that quite frankly, probably doesn't get a lot of run, and the reason he doesn't is because he's been behind some bigger names in the past, but now that it's his ball to run with, he's a good back. Liked him at Nebraska, and I think he can develop into a solid, if not at some point spectacular, running back for the Redskins. So that's a little bit of a breakdown of the offensive that you'll see from the Redskins and some of the defensive personnel that the Patriots will be lining up against. Fact of the matter is that, you know, there will be a couple of huge keys that you'll want to look for on Sunday when you get the chance to watch it. The two that I'll be looking at, and I think these will be the two most important keys in talking about one-on-one or individual matchups for the entire game. Number one, you'll undoubtedly find Brian Arakpo matched up with Matt Light. And when you do that, and we all know that that's one of the things that Matt Light certainly seems to get maligned for from time to time, but more often than not, he seems to be able to find an answer, or at least does an adequate enough job to where whoever it is that's rushing off of the edge is a very small, if not a non-factor altogether. So that's one matchup I think you got to look at. And then obviously you can imagine to see D'Angelo Hall, my guess would be matched up with Wes Welker, depending upon what they decide to do over the next couple of days through practices and such. See if we can't get a little more insight into the Redskins as Larry Michael calls the Redskins games on the Redskins Radio Network, joins us here inside Patriots Playbook. Larry, thanks for a couple of minutes. Sure appreciate it today.
My pleasure. How you doing today?
Great, great. Thanks a lot. We're just kind of going through some of the Redskins personnel looking here. And obviously, last week, Rex Grossman took a little bit of a statistical beating from the Jets. But since he's kind of come back into the lineup, has that largely been a good thing? Or do the Redskins and maybe fans feel like it's time to start looking in a different direction? I know they tried with John Beck earlier this year, but that didn't seem to work either.
No, I mean, I think Rex has really shown that he can step up and lead the football team. You know, he's had some inconsistencies, obviously, which everything contributes to a team not winning as much as they'd like to. But, you know, he came off a pretty good game against Dallas. We went to Seattle, and it was another good game. Last week, it was a very unusual game. The Redskins had a 100-yard rusher in Roy Helu, but they missed some red zone opportunities, and I think that really, you know, came back to bite them. It was a game they led 16-13 with 7:50 to go, and they end up losing the game 34-19, a very odd ending to the game.
Right.
But they can look back to the first half and see missed opportunities that would have given them a little bit of breathing room. But as far as Rex is concerned, you know, when he was benched early in the season, it coincided with him battling a bout of pneumonia, and you just don't know what impact that might have had in the couple games leading up. But the first game that he was out, when he was benched, it was Carolina, I believe. I mean, he had 104 temperature. He couldn't have played anyway.
Wow.
And so I think, you know, he kind of evaluated where he was during that time when he was ill and realized, I mean, he can make a push to try to grab that starting job back. And I think he's firmly entrenched there for the rest of the season. You know, he's got a lot of ability. He's got a lot of confidence. So, you know, the offense for the Redskins at times has looked good, but it has been inconsistent. And, you know, that's really been the problem this year.
How much will they be affected with the absence of Williams on the line and Davis at tight end?
Well, you lose two guys like that. You know, you have to. You know, somebody's got to step up, and you know, you can look at it, you know, two ways. I kind of look at it that, you know, these guys are gone. It's as though they're on injury reserve. They're not going to come back this year.
Right.
So whoever gets a chance to step in there is going to be able to show what they can do. They've got a young tight end in Logan Paulson, who has shown some pretty good flash. The big kid. Second-year player out of UCLA. And on the offensive line, there's a rookie, Willie Smith, who's been on the roster all year, hasn't played yet, and the veteran, Sean Locklear, who had played in that spot earlier this year when Trent was injured. So it's a little more clear at the tight end position. Logan's going to step up. As far as the left tackle goes, they're going to have to work through that this week and then decide late in the week who gives them the best chance to win at left tackle.
Sure. I would imagine, though, that this would be an opportunity because of the penchant for giving up yardage in the Patriots' secondary this year. That this would be an opportunity, I would think, for the Redskins to see what they can do and maybe try to open it up a little bit. What are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm getting into my preparation here, and, you know, you look at the yardage compiled by the Patriots' offense, and obviously Tom Brady and Wes Welker, 93 catches, 1,200 yards. Gronkowski's got a ton of touchdowns.
Right.
I mean, there's so much happening offensively, and the Pats are rated two. Then you look at the defense and, wow, 32nd?
Yeah.
But you know what I've learned in my time at doing this? You can look at that number, and it can be deceiving a lot of times. Patriots leading at the end of the game, giving up yardage, maybe playing a softer defense just to get the game done. But the numbers are what they are, so if you're going to look at attacking the Patriots from an offensive side, and you look at their secondary, you do have some pretty good pass rushers. Very familiar. Andre Carter, great, great guy.
Yeah.
What a tremendous individual. I know you guys have gotten a chance to know him, and he's not more of a class act than anybody in the league, but you know what? He does come after the quarterback. Redskins have given up some sacks, but the Redskins have found a ground game the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And with Roy Helu, the rookie, and he's a
right.
very team player. So, you know, you look at the ratings, yeah, you know, New England's rated 32nd against the pass. Are they really that bad? I don't think they're that bad. I think they're much better than that. You know, the numbers don't always tell the true story, but you got to find a way to score some points if you're playing the Patriots. And ball control, obviously, I mean, there's nothing new here. You know, keeping Tom Brady off the field is going to be important for the Redskins to maintain possession of the football. Time of possession is something that has been lopsided at times. Sometimes it hasn't been so bad for the Redskins. So I think that's going to be a key stat, time of possession on Sunday. And, you know, getting points on the board, red zone opportunities that cannot be squandered against the team that can put points on the board in a hurry like the Patriots can.
Right. All right, let's flip it over to the other side as well. And I certainly think that there's a couple of things you got to look at. Number one is how do the Redskins decide to choose their, you know, pick their poison, and whether or not D'Angelo Hall might match up with a guy like Welker, or if they put him on Branch. But it seems to me that Welker would have to be somebody that you'd want to put your best guy on. So thoughts about maybe trying to pick your poison and going up against the Patriots receivers?
Well, you know, as you guys have a great Hall of Fame broadcast crew, I work with a guy by the name of Sonny Jurgensen.
I'm very aware of Mr. Jurgensen. I hated his guts when I was younger. So
I'll tell you what, he looks at Tom Brady. He looks at guys like Tom Brady, and he says, "Here's a guy who knows where he's going with the football." That's, you can't say that. Most quarterbacks are reacting after this happened. Yeah, Tom Brady knows where he's going when he comes to the line. I mean, he is that good. So, for the Redskins, you do have some talent in the secondary. We're not so sure about Landry's availability. He's been in and out because of injury. But D'Angelo Hall's a playmaker. Josh Wilson's a pretty good player. They're going to have to come up with the right plan. And I would think, you know, getting after Brady in terms of a pass rush. Redskins have a lot of sacks this year. They got 33 sacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. It's at the top of the heap, and that's clearly going to be something they're going to try to do. But in terms of D'Angelo Hall, I mean, he has, for the most part this year, flip sides to cover the top receiver on the other team. But again, you know, it depends on how Walker's deployed, and it depends on how many times we're going, you know, seeing three wide receivers with Gronkowski. The combinations that New England can put on the field, you know, at times are devastating. And you say pick your poison, that's exactly what you're talking about. Now, you look at the tight end and what he's done, your tight end, I mean, you got to make sure you have somebody on him. Walker is on pace to catch 124 footballs this year. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do? I think you got to try to come up with a scheme over the course of the week. You're not going to add players to your team at this point in the season. So, you know, best man up. That's
right.
The way it goes.
Right. And obviously, you touched on the pass rush. And to me, one of the great young pass rushers in the game right now is Brian Arakpo. And, you know, his transition really from being more of a down lineman type defensive end in college to an outside linebacker has been seamless. This guy seems to be at the, you know, seems to be no limitation for a guy like Arakpo.
No, I mean, he's a hard worker, and, you know, just 2 years in the league, and he is a big-time leader on the football team. Very mature guy. He came to the team, to me, as a full-grown man. Sometimes you see some of these kids come in, and they've been coddled in their college situations. I'm sure you've seen it. And, you know, you got some guys who come in, might need a little grooming, might need a little time. He was not one of them. He was ready to play football, pro football, when he came to the Redskins. And this year he's got, you know, the benefit of having somebody opposite of him, the other rookie, Ryan Kerrigan, who's off to a great start in his pro career. So those two outside backers really complement each other very well. And the acquisitions of Barry Cofield and Stephen Bowen also have really fit well. And the Redskins' defense, I think, is a playoff-caliber defense. But you can't play every game trying to pitch a shutout. You need some, you know, need some points now and then to be able to be successful. And so they got that the last couple of weeks against Cowboys and against Seattle.
Sure.
Now, the offense did produce, and that helps that defense cut loose a little bit, you know. But against, again, a guy like Brady, you can't afford to make a lot of mistakes. So they're going to have to make every opportunity count on the defensive side of the football. If they have a shot at getting to Brady to sack him, they got to bring him down. If you have a shot at an interception, doesn't throw many. I mean, how many times are you going to get your hands on the ball? You better hold on to it if you get that opportunity.
Right.
Because it might be your only opportunity the whole game.
Right, right. One quick thing about Kerrigan, obviously because he's a rookie out of Purdue, what does he do particularly well? I mean, without knowing a heck of a lot about the kid other than he's starting to put up some pretty good numbers, what makes him so effective?
Well, I mean, he's a great athlete, A. I mean, he's a big kid, 6'4", and, you know, packs a wall up. He's a very strong kid, and he is just such a intelligent football player, and his work ethic is incredible. I mean, this guy is almost too good to be true. I've started calling him to his face Captain America because he looks like the All-American boy. He's got all the talent. Now, back in college, they called him Superman at Purdue because he had this long, now he's got almost like a Marine-style haircut now, and he is just a straight-laced, hard-working, intelligent, and, you know, the cliche about a guy's motor, we always hear it, you know, during the draft and at the combine, this guy's got a great motor. Well, they're talking about this guy. He never takes a playoff, and he seems to get better. He makes a mistake, he corrects it, and he learns from it, which means he may, sky's the limit for this kid moving forward. I think he's been better than expected. You know, when we drafted him, didn't know a lot about him, and you got to meet him a little bit. You say he's a nice kid, and can he play? Well, he plays great. And again, he almost seems too good to be true. So he'll be on the scene for a long time for the Redskins.
Sounds like it. Larry, thanks for a little bit of time. We sure appreciate it today. Have a great call this weekend.
Our pleasure. See y'all when you get down here.
You got it. Thanks so much. Larry Michael
again.
You bet. Radio voice of the Washington Redskins joining us here in the playbook. Pete Shepard coming up momentarily.
Yeah, just I have Rich Campbell coming on from the Washington Times. But I think this, for an organization as like the Washington Redskins and that facility and that owner, and I'm just looking, right, and right before you get off with the
Larry,
yeah, the Redskins forced again today to practice, the key word there is again, at a local gym because of heavy rain. They don't have a practice bubble.
They don't have an indoor facility at all, so they go to a local gym?
They go to a local gym. Knock at some high school. Hello? Can I come in?
Wow.
Can we lift things up and put them down?
That is unbelievable. Wow.
Well,
hey, I have
it is the National Football League.
I have my unsung hero for you.
Yeah, who?
It's somebody that nobody talks about.
Who?
It's somebody that some people didn't think would be on this team this year.
And?
Someone I think gets many times a bad rap because they look at one or two or three plays and forget about the other 58.
We need a drum roll. We need a drum roll. You got a drum roll, Kev?
Matt Light.
Oh, we mentioned him.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you mention him.
Yeah.
He absolutely, absolutely to me is, you want to talk about unsung hero.
Yeah, I actually had an,
he is my number one choice because.
I had a Facebook poster mentioned Matt Light's name.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
But he definitely is for me.
I agree with you. And he's going to get another severe test again this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's not going to get much more severe than last week. He did a great job.
He did a great job. I agree with that. But it's going to be back-to-back week.
Yeah.
He's going to go against the old guard of the NFL. And we say Dwight Freeney being the old guard, right?
Yeah.
Kind of strange to hear that and actually say that. But against the new guard and a guy like Brian Arakpo this week.
The thing with Washington, though, is, I mean, they've been very competitive. But without Davis, I think that, you know, looking at it more now on offense and the Patriots defense, and maybe at the end they give up more garbage yards. But I think Washington's offense is going to struggle throwing the ball. I mean, I know.
Because Grossman won't have his binky.
Grossman won't
have
his
Davis.
Main game. Yeah. And I think that's for that particular team, with that particular quarterback, that's a huge loss.
Could very well be. He struggled a little bit last week, certainly statistically, against the Jets, especially.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, last week, Orlovsky and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay. The three touchdowns when nobody cared. Even though.
Including the team.
Yeah, including the team. So.
Your unsung hero can also sing, too, apparently, Pete.
Yeah.
Take me home, country road, to the place that I belong, West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country road. That's nice.
And he's a good hunter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shoots a bow as well as anybody I've ever seen.
Wow.
Nothing that nobody bow. I know you didn't learn that in Boy Scout camp in Idaho.
No, I didn't. I did shoot shotguns. Did ride bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no shooting bows. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we got to get the Washington Redskins built a bubble so they can practice.
Sounds like it. Sounds like they may need it. All right, Pete Shepard's coming up. Our thanks to Larry Michael, the radio voice of the Washington Redskins, for joining us in the playbook. Eric Scalavino, as he normally does on Wednesdays. Same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow, kids, in the playbook. E will be back. We'll also have Russell S. Baxter back in the playbook tomorrow to not only look at Pat's Redskins, but the entire week around the National Football League as we get a little bit closer, just a little bit closer to talking about playoffs. We're talking playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Thank you, Jim Mora. Same time tomorrow, kids. Yeah.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.